this verse that talks about the demons and the devotees. So demon doesn't mean someone with two horns and a tail. It means those who are against the principles of Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are four kinds of demoniac personalities, beginning with the mudhas. Namam diskrituna mudha, prapadyante naradama, maya aparita jnana, asuram bhavam ashitya. The mudhas, those who are foolish, those who are, well, the next is the naradamas, which Prabhupada later on explains, as those who are sinful. And then there is the maya aparita jnanas. There he says they're deceitful, and the asura bhavam ashrityas are atheistic. The underlying point is they want to imagine themselves to be the lords of the material nature, and that the material nature is here simply so we can exploit it and try to enjoy it. And the main two divisions are Ichcha Dvesha Samudena Dvanva Mohena Bharata Sara Bhutani Samoha Sargeyanti Parantapa. Basically speaking, there are only two mentalities in the material world. One is that we want to become God. It's called Ichcha. And the other is we hate the fact that there is a God and it's not us. And Krishna says, anyone who's absorbed in this mentality to different degrees, naham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samavrita mudoyam navijananti lokoyam ajam avyam, that Krishna is never manifest to persons who have such a mentality, because he's covered by his eternal creative potency, yoga maya, so the deluded world knows him not, I'm unborn and inexhaustible. So under the spell of illusion, that is that we are a God, or we're becoming God, or there's no other God better than I am in this world. There are so many gods and I'm competing against them, and gradually I'm winning. So under such a mentality, it is very difficult to understand who actually is God. Even when Krishna comes to this world, Krishna says, avajananti mamudha manushim tanum ashitya parambhava majananto mamabhuta maheshram. Krishna comes and people think, oh, here is this an ordinary child. Actually, those who are demoniac, they make up so many stories about Krishna which are inaccurate. They portray Krishna in a very inaccurate way. Even they talk about Krishna, still they talk about Krishna not in a very positive way. Although seemingly they're very enthusiastic about Krishna, but when you really draw the line, you can see they're actually against Krishna. Just like one time I met one lady at a Sunday feast, and she was explaining how she loved Krishna. She even had a deity of Krishna on her altar. And one day she said, by my worship, I'm going to become Krishna. So with such a mentality, of course, one may appear to be very positive about Krishna, but ultimately one is envious of Krishna. Just like if one wants to criticize Krishna, or those who criticize Krishna say, yes, Krishna was very powerful, but after all, his parents were criminals because they were, when he was born in a prison. And he was also had a criminal mentality from birth. Unfortunately, or however you want to look at it, his father escaped from the prison with him and hid Krishna in a little innocent village, unknowing who Krishna really was, that he was an escaped criminal. And as soon as he began to grow even a little bit, his criminal propensity started to manifest. A beautiful nurse came to feed him, and he killed her. Then he started to destroy things like hand carts. He started to kill animals in the forest, birds, snakes, horses. He even killed a bull. And when he could, he started to steal with his gang of thieves from the neighbors. He would harass, molest the little children in his neighbor's house. And even at a young age, he started to chase after all the girls in the village. He wouldn't leave them alone, even for a moment. And as soon as they became a little serious, he fled from the village, went to another city, and started to kill the people there. Finally, at the end of his life, him and his relatives all became intoxicated, and they killed each other, and a new era began. So those who cannot appreciate Krishna, whatever he does, they criticize. Although Krishna married 16,108 queens and expanded himself into 16,108 palaces and maintained all the queens simultaneously in a very opulent way, still, nowadays, when people can't even maintain one wife and a couple of children adequately, they begin to criticize, "Oh, Krishna, he was so lusty, he married all these queens. The fact that he could live with them simultaneously in great opulence, that they can't appreciate." They say, as Kamsa said, "Who is this Krishna?" He was talking to Akura. "What is his power? Just because he lifted one pebble, Govardhan Hill." So, why do you claim he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Just because he defeated one harmless water snake, Kali, a serpent. Then he said to Akura, "Who is this Krishna? What is his power?" But then in the next moment he was informed that he had just killed a big elephant, Kulivalpita. And he thought, "Who is this Krishna? Why should I be afraid of him? I'm surrounded by very strong wrestlers." But then he found out the wrestlers were also killed. Then he thought, "Well, let me go to Vrindavan and inflict pains on all the residents there. But I cannot go out," he said, "because my heart is trembling out of fear of this boy." In other words, those who are envious of God, they'll never be able to see God. What to speak of the personal form of Krishna in the temple or chant the holy name. Even right before them, God is manifest in the form of the universal form that they simply try to deny. The most basic thing, Krishna says, that the body is changing. Deno sminita dehe kalmaram yovanam jara. That the body is going from boyhood to youth to old age, and it doesn't stop there. But they cannot even recognize that. Kalos nishaya krit prarido lokansa maharta miha praritak rite pitvam nava vishanti sarave yevastita pratnyu keshyoda. Time I am, Krishna says, the destroyer of all the worlds, and I have come here to engage all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, everyone on all different sides will be killed. In other words, Krishna is present here in the form of time. And it should be very obvious that time in this material world is supreme. Every moment, time is changing everything. And yet time is not being changed by anything. No matter how old time becomes, it doesn't change at all. It is not that we read in the newspaper one day, time has become very old and has died. Therefore, there is no more time. We're going to be young forever. No, we're going to grow old and die. This body will grow old and die, but time will go on eternally, changing everything in this mature world. Therefore, time, mrityu sarva haras chaham. Time is the representative of Krishna. It is Krishna himself. So if we cannot see time and understand that there is something beyond us, supreme, we may claim we're making so much advancement, therefore we should be, or some people, scientists or someone, may claim that we've made so much advancement, we've created rocket ships, we've created computers, we've created videos and cameras and iPods. So you should worship us, because we're controlling the material nature. But even Hiranyakashipu was not so foolish, because he understood, although I may be able to conquer some demigods, conquer some asuras in this world or human beings, but ultimately, unless I could conquer death, what is the value of my conquering everyone else? Because eventually, everything I have will be taken away at the time of my leaving my body. Therefore, he went under great austerity, standing on the tip of his toes for 120 years of the demigods, his body being eaten by moths and worms and ants, so much so that the only thing left was bones. Just imagine what his mother would have thought. Dear Hiranyakashipu, I told you you should eat more. I told you it looked like you were just skin and bones, but now I see you're not even skin anymore. You're just bones. He was living in his bones. Such a great austerity. He became so powerful by the benedictions of Brahma on the basis of the austerity, but still he had to leave his body. So what to speak of ourselves? What will we do to conquer over time? There is nothing we can do. No one in this world, Hiranyakashipu or Lord Brahma or anyone in this world, cannot supersede the laws of material nature. So the laws of material nature are supreme in this world, and the laws of material nature are made by a supreme Lord Giver. Therefore, Lord Brahma says, "Yats chaksha esha savitasa kala grahanam raja samasa suramurta ashesha teja yas yagaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govindam adi purushang tamahang bhujami." He's not worshipping Krishna blindly. He sees that the sun is so powerful. It is considered one of the eyes of the Supreme Lord. But although it's giving off unlimited ashesha teja, unlimited energy since time immemorial, it is said that all the energy that human beings have used since their creation does not equal to even one moment in the energy and the life of the sun that this sun is giving out. In one moment of the sun's existence, it's giving out more energy than all the energy that all the human beings have utilized since time immemorial. And yet, all this sun is so powerful, still, it is not moving one inch beyond its orbit. Just like a bull may be very powerful, and the bull is attached by its nose, by a rope to a grinding mortar. So though this powerful bull pulls a very heavy weight to crush the grains, still it cannot move one inch beyond the rope. The sun, so powerful, cannot move one inch beyond the rope, So the question is, who has roped the sun in its orbit? So Lord Brahma says, it is Lord Govinda who is controlling everything, even the powerful sun, what to speak of our insignificant selves. Those who are suras cannot see what is before them. Napashyati, napashyati, napashyati. Deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi. Tesham pramato nidanam pashana pi napashyati. They think their body, their family, their children, that these will protect them from time and annihilation. But although they can see that even the greatest powerful personalities in this world are vanquished by the energy of time, still they think that there'll be an exception. Therefore, Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita vimudo nana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body they enjoy under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Human life is meant to be educated to see God, not to be educated to see some dogs dancing on television. And without being educated to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the right way, with the right attitude and appreciation, with the right attitude of service, then one remains a mudha. Yatanto yoginas chayanam pashantyatma yavashtitaha yatanto yokritatmano naivam pashanti chetasaha. The foolish, Krishna says, although they may try very, very hard to see reality with the idea of conquering it, just like a famous psychologist named B.F. Skinner, who had the idea that human beings are simply a more sophisticated rat. And by conditioning the sophisticated rat called a human being, they could be able to control human beings. Control them in such a way as that one day they'd all unite together, enter into the kingdom, enter into God's kingdom, and if there is a God, then unitedly we'll get together and kill him. That was his idea. So they think they're developing knowledge, but they can't actually see what's taking place. Only those whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see reality. Prahlad Maharaj said, Naiva dvije paradratya vaitranyastva virya gaina mahamrita magnachitak soche vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhayam bharam udvato vimudan. Prahlad Maharaj, he was merged in an ocean of transcendental happiness by glorifying Krishna, not trying to defeat Krishna or deny Krishna. He was merged in an ocean of happiness, glorifying Krishna. And therefore he had no desire, he had no want. He wanted no benediction from Krishna, because he was completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. But on the other hand, he appeared to be somewhat morose. So Lord Nrisimhadeva was saying, well, you say you're happy, but you don't seem so happy. What is the problem? So he says, so chevi mukha chetasa indriyartha. I am seeing all these vimudhas, these foolish people who are working hard for sense gratification with no thought of love of God, simply being defeated by the illusory energy and suffering the material energy, and therefore I'm working hard to deliver them. Therefore, although there is a constant battle in the universe between the asuras and the devas, but in this age of Kali Yuga, the devas are not trying to kill the asuras because they're already dead. Their consciousness is dead. Simply, they're living in a dead body, waiting for the next dead body, eating dead bodies, and more or less waiting for their next dead body to inhabit. Therefore, rather than kill their bodies, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to kill the demoniac spirit of trying to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it by introducing Krishna, by giving Krishna directly, Krishna prema, so that the dead soul can wake up, get out of his trance-like comatose state, and come back to the real consciousness of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, following Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps, we are trying to inform people that there is a Krishna, and we can develop our relationship with him in a positive way, rather than denying his existence and competing against him by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A new awakening can be there. People can come back to their normal state of consciousness, come back to their blissful life that they're searching for, and actually make their lives sublime and fruitful. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?